Hey, everyone. Thanks for listening to tonight's show. My guests are Dr. Drew Pinsky and Michael Catherwood, the hosts of the nationally syndicated show Loveline. They dole out advice 5 nights a week about dating, sex, and relationships. So tonight, we're going to hear their best tips and how they practice them in their personal lives, like how to keep sex alive in a long-term relationship and answer some of your questions as well. Now, this is going to be good, all on tonight's show.
Look into his eyes. Eyes of a man obsessed by sex. Eyes that mock our sacred institutions. Bedroom eyes, they call them in a bygone day.
Hey, Emily, you got a boyfriend?
Because my man E here, he just got his heart broken. He thinks you're kind of cute.
A girl's gotta have her standards. Oh, my.
The women know about shrinkage.
Isn't it common knowledge?
What do you mean, like laundry? It shrinks?
Can we not talk about sex so much?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my God, I feel so good.
Being bad feels pretty good.
But you know, Emily's not the kind of girl you just play with.
You're listening to Sex with Emily. We're talking about sex, relationships, and everything in between. For more information, go to sexwithemily.com. where you can check out all of our blogs, all of our podcasts. You know, the easy thing to do is just to subscribe on iTunes. We do 2 shows a week. You will never miss a Sex with Emily show again, because why would you want to do that? And sign up for my mailing list, because I give really good emails. I have to say, I'm not making it up. People tell me, so it must be true, right? And that's what you should do. And I'm here with Anderson. I'm
very what up? Show.
Hi, Anderson. I missed you the other night. K-Rock Christmas.
I know. Where were you? Were you backstage blowing every single musician?
Why does everyone think I'm always giving out blowjobs my spare time?
It's an easy, low-hanging fruit joke. I apologize.
Really? I've got Mick Catherwood here. He's one of our guests tonight. Would you like to comment on that? Did you see me giving blowjobs at K-Rock?
I did not. I saw you looking beautiful and having a great time.
Oh, thank you. I was having
Kiss
a great
ass.
Time.
I did, actually. Emily looked great.
Thank you. It was a really good time.
Yeah.
That was fun.
You got to meet my wife, which was
I know. I love it. Because I only met your wife when she was like 9 months pregnant for like 2 seconds in the Loveline studio.
That's right.
And she's awesome. She's funny.
Yeah, she's pretty solid.
She puts up with you and you guys are good. We're going to talk about that tonight.
Okay.
A little bit about your relationship and all that. Okay. So this has been a crazy week. Had so many holiday parties and work. My head's spinning. Seriously? What? Anderson, you look shocked.
I'm never shocked with like you partying and going out. What do you
think? No, everyone thinks I do, but I don't all the time. And,
well, no, you actually. I tell people that you don't have much of a social life. And you need more because actually, people are always asking. Very often, people are asking me if you're available.
Oh,
and
yeah,
they're
I'm
interested.
Available. I'm ready.
And I say I'm not
I'm
her
ready
pimp.
To mingle.
I say go talk to her yourself,
dude.
Bitches.
Take some numbers if they're cute.
For smart. Those of you who can't see the Ustream, Emily looks very cute right now.
You know
Santa
why?
Hat.
It's our Christmas show, and I'm Jewish, but I've never worn a Santa hat, and I'm so excited.
It's
Madison
becoming.
Got it for me.
You should move to a place where that's just like the style,
because
like it
the
looks
North
good
Pole
on you.
Or yeah. Something? Is that where it's a style?
Emily's wearing a Santa hat and eating pork, so she could break away from her.
Exactly. But I'm also holding sex toys, so I could be struck down, you know what I'm saying? So, okay, this is Mike Catherwood. He's here. Mike is the co-host of Loveline.
Uh-huh.
And I talked about you a little earlier at the beginning, but Mike, I've been honored working with you on Loveline. It's
thank you.
Run, been on the air for 30 years?
34, I believe.
34?
Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, and you...
Something like that, yeah.
And Mike, I've got a little like bio here for you, which bios are so lame because you could say it so much better, but
sometimes
you've done everything.
Sometimes it's
just tell me what you
crazy.
Do.
Sometimes it's crazy and how indifferent people are to creating bios because they're just nonsense. And other times I'm like shocked. I'm like, wow. That's pretty accurate. I can't believe I don't. For instance, my Wikipedia, I had never seen it until I didn't know there was one until like about a year ago, and I read it, and I was like, "This is spot on."
Really?
And like stuff like my mom's background, my dad's background, like where they're from and how they like their parents, and it was all true. Everything in there was like totally spot on.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah,
because some people go in and go crazy. They're like, "That's not true."
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was a little bit nuts, but also at the same time, I started to think. Well, who wrote that? Like, who in my life?
Your crazy fans, because you've been, you know,
but
on there.
My friends, like people who would
not
know that.
Fans.
I know, but my friends, like close friends to me that would know certain little details that are in there, would not write that. Because if they did, it would be all like, Mike has a small dick and Mike is an
only
orphan.
Only you would
from...
write you a small dick. That's
no,
one
no,
of
no,
our
no,
topics
no, 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 no. I'm just
Mike
saying,
small...
I know my friends that are close enough to me to know that kind of stuff.
But they'd probably don't
they
know how to
would
do
never
Wikipedia. But
have
they don't
written...
know how to use Wikipedia because Wikipedia, you have to be like, Wikipedia certified, I think, to use Wikipedia. Not
yeah.
everyone go in and edit their stuff. But
I guess there is must be some really passionate Mike Catherwood fan who knows a lot of stuff because, like I said, there's like family stuff in there that I was like, it was totally
yeah,
accurate.
Figure it out, so you Google
totally
it, to figure it out. But you've been on the air. What? Okay, so radio, television personality, well-known masturbation advocate.
That's true.
I added that part.
I really am, though.
I know. You're really articulate about it, and you share when you masturbate.
Well, I just think a lot of times, even non-sexual stuff, young men especially, they're so driven by their pent-up kind of sexual frustrations. That I think that, like, masturbating frequently, not too frequently,
not
obviously,
too frequently.
Understanding moderation, but masturbating at least daily really kind of regulates some of those weird decisions that men make for the sake of having
it's
sex
calming,
or getting sexual
relaxing.
Gratification.
I was like, it's kind of like how women are like go shopping on Zappos or something at night.
Right?
Men,
no,
like,
but
masturbate.
And guys are just as guilty. I mean, if I say
shopping on Zappos.
Well, if you have $30,000 in the bank and you're like, I'm going to go buy a $60,000 car and figure out how to lease it and leverage myself to it. I go beat off first and like rethink that. Like think seriously.
It calms you, like resets.
Yeah, like you may be fueled by the desire to get laid or the desire. And I'm like, just don't. If you're sexting with a girl and you have a girlfriend that's asleep in the other room, like go beat off and then think about sexting and like.
So you
what
use
it,
it as like a decision making tool.
Well, yeah,
some people meditate.
I think it kind of regulates a lot of your impulsive.
No, I think it's true.
Nature.
I think it's totally natural. We talk about this in the show a lot that people just don't. A lot of women, and I was like that. I didn't understand why my boyfriend, when I was like 24, I'm like, we're having amazing, then he's like, best sex of my life. I'm like, why is he always watching porn? Why is he, I thought that I wasn't fulfilling him, mm-hmm. which is a lot of women believe that. But, okay, there's a few things I have to say first before we chat. And
yes.
The most important thing is that you have to follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. So it's all Sex with Emily across the board. And you should totally be following me because it's fun. My posts are good. They're good.
I get your newsletter. I follow you on Twitter and Instagram.
Right. Thank you, Mike. I appreciate it.
I'm pretty
that.
Sure we're friends on Facebook.
I'm pretty sure we are.
I don't know because I don't
friends.
Really
I think
apply.
It took us a while. Like, I know that you don't usually, like, you probably, like, not friends with everybody, but
I just don't know. I don't put any effort into my Facebook. I have no idea who my friends are. I have no idea what's on there.
I've got a page, though. I've got, like, a Facebook page. And that's, like, the most important thing I have to say. And here's Dr. Drew.
Dr. Drew's here.
Hi, Dr. Drew.
Hey, Emily.
Looking good in his burgundy shirt. It's more of a Merlot.
You guys are awesome.
Test. Here we go.
Hello.
Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. Should I open it now?
If you want. Susan,
engineered. I know you're part of the tribe, too.
Yes. Like I don't
I have a
dress
Hanukkah
like
story
Santa. Hanukkah story?
This is my first time ever wearing a Santa hat.
Sure, it
Santa
is.
Hat.
She looks natural.
I was going to say,
I know.
Well, Emily actually. Like, when sometimes in certain outfits, you're very Jewy, but then other times I look at you and you're very goy.
This is very goy.
Wait a minute. Yeah. What? Yeah, well, the Christmas hat. But when am I Jewy? We're all black every
day. No, I know. But that is very uptown
New York,
like, Jewish chick kind of. You have that sexy Jewish professional chick look a lot. But then other times I look at you, I'm like, she could be a fucking Ruka from, like, East L.A.
when is that?
Every once in a while, yeah.
Do you agree?
You've seen her, Drew, in her camel-toe cheetah pants and stuff.
I have camel-toe. I do not own camel-toe cheetah pants. They're leggings, and I never wear them out of the house. I do have cheetah leggings. I've never left my house in them since San Francisco.
You're getting ganged up.
How'd
on
you
tonight.
Know? I know. I'm not letting
hey,
it happen. I've got the bell.
You let us into your territory for once. So.
Am I opening this now, really? Like, oh, Stila. I love Stila makeup. This is awesome. Thank you, Drew. Thank you,
welcome.
Susan.
Mm-hmm.
Your lovely wife.
Are you into, like...
This is, like, my favorite brand, and this is good.
That's good stuff.
It's good.
I know it's expensive.
She knows what she's doing.
Are you real into, like, makeup, not makeups, but, like, face creams and that type of thing?
You know, well, yeah. I mean,
because you look
I
very
like...
young.
Oh, thank you.
You visit my wife's bathroom. There's a full, not only a store, but a museum dedicated to creams and makeups.
Yeah,
and
we need
bikinis.
So much.
That's the other thing. There's a museum of bikinis.
Oh, your wife. So we were in Laguna Beach. And she's many things.
Oh, yeah. I remember your guys' swinger party from like
yeah,
a month
it was,
ago.
I know. It was kind of weird. I was like, really? You went? I'm like, no, we're all friends. It's totally cool and chill.
Yeah.
Like, probably
yeah, sure.
It really
it's a key
dude.
Party.
Come on. Like Drew, really.
I hypnotized them both. Sorry.
I don't think that Drew would engage.
Drew listen. Never would. It would just
anyway,
we get along.
You're
the point
along.
Is, so
well,
Susan.
Well, I just know. I know for a fact that you don't engage in swinging with Drew because you walk correctly.
Oh, stop it!
If you engaged with sex with Drew, you'd be all bow-legged.
And with you,
up.
I'd just be exactly the same.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, you'd actually your legs
I'd
would
be like,
closer
are
together.
In? Are you in? Were you there?
It actually
did
brings
it
your legs closer somehow. My penis is so small.
We're gonna get to that later. But yeah, so your wife, among many things, very talented. She hosts her podcast, Calling Out with Susan Pinsky, but she also happens to be a bikini expert. because she worked at a bikini shop when we first met her.
Yep, that's right. Sure.
And so we went bikini shopping one day. It was like Memorial Day, Labor Day, whatever. Labor Day.
Was it Labor Day?
Labor Day.
Yeah.
And everything's in sale, right? Laguna Beach. And so we went to this bikini shop. And I just, she just sat there with me. I tried. She's like, nope, yes, your ass looks bad. Your ass, like, she just knew, like, yes, no, take it off. You're wrong. And she was pulling them. Like, there was like, thousands of bikinis. And she knew. And I bought like five bikinis and they were all amazing. Like, you can't do that on your own as a woman. Because the girls be like, they look so good on you. And then they don't. But
no, Susan, knows, she absolutely
Susan was
knows
like, no,
suits.
Take it off. No. Like, she was like the bikini not
and then she sounds picked like me. Good ones.
Sounds like
they're
me
hot.
Going to buy suits with my friends.
I know. I yeah, yeah.
I'm always like,
no,
those lapels are too big for you, dude. You're not tall enough. You need thin lapels. You got to match your tie to it. And my friends are like, thanks, man. Thanks.
No, but everyone needs a friend like that. I don't have that in LA. Susan, I should go shopping with her. Okay, so, well, you're both here now, so we'll just, I'll do my little intro. If people don't, I'm assuming, unless people have been under a rock, they've heard of Loveline. It's been around for 30 years. He's at 34, Mike.
83.
Okay. I really don't do math, actually. It makes me
It'll be 32 exactly, like January 3rd, right? Isn't that when you started?
All I know is I remember New Year's Eve 1984, and it was a Sunday. And it wasn't even New Year's Eve. It was actually New Year's Day because they'll never do the Rose Parade on a Sunday.
Right.
So New Year's Day was Sunday, and the show was Sunday night, and the second was the parade.
Right.
And I remember having to get in through the parade track into the K-Rock in Pasadena. And it was, and I'd been doing it a few months at that time, so I probably started the summer of '83.
Okay.
Yeah, don't start me about New Year's Eve and the fucking Rose Parade.
Yeah, yeah.
Why?
Bring up my
goddamn come
horrible
visit us,
memories.
You'll see. Yeah.
I want to. I'll be back.
Well, come visit us.
I know because I'm going now. I'm going to Florida. My mom is not the Jewish guilt type at all. I wish sometimes I think it would have been better.
Yeah.
If she had any. Like anything that showed that she, I mean, she cares, but she was like, whatever, have fun, go to San Francisco. If you don't like it, you'll come back.
You
like
can take some of my mom's. She's goy
but
as hell, but
she called me and said, you know, she goes, you know, I'm not getting any younger. She's in Florida. I'm not getting any younger, Emily. Really?
Bring her out here?
I could die soon. You guys would love my mom. She's like, you know, I'm not kidding about it. I'm not going to be around forever. You should come to Florida. Yeah, she is. She looks amazing. She's 71.
Where?
I'll fuck
she
her.
She has a place in Sarasota. Dude, you probably would.
Mm-hmm.
Who wouldn't you fuck if you weren't married?
But, even
5 minutes when you weren't married. And you
even
were
as if you knew me when I was married, I'd definitely fuck you.
That would have made for a good show. Come on, talk about it.
Listen,
you would have fucked me. How do you know I would have fucked you?
You would have.
Really? All that small penis talk.
Yeah.
Okay.
Drew. From what you know of me, as a man who knows me very well on and off the air, and especially knew me during the time of
activity
post first marriage, if Emily was like a part of Loveline the way she is now, and during say like 2008, honestly, as a betting man, what would you say the chances that I'd have sex with her would be?
I'd more be wondered why it wouldn't, right?
It's
Although it appears, I know this till this minute, she's deeply turned off by the small penis talk.
I'm kidding. It's a joke because that's actually something we're getting.
She's deeply turned off by
dysmorphia. Yeah. We
accept
body dysmorphia. We know where people think they're fat. It angers me too.
What?
His dickmorphia. And then Mike always talks about having a small penis. And I don't really, he won't show it to us.
Yeah, people do not think about the fact that the male preoccupation with penis size, penis shape, penis whatever, is a form of body dysmorphia very often.
Right.
It has sort of two manifestations. One is when men have low self-esteem, not even low self-esteem, when they're just not feeling good about their place in the world. You know, young men particularly, who am I? What am I going to do?
Right.
They start preoccupying about their penis size. It becomes sort of a surrogate symbol for their bigness, their worth.
That makes sense with me.
Yeah. But as a syndrome, I was just reading about it the other day, and I realized I've seen this a number of times. These guys, in fact, we had a guest in here that started –
Eric Andre.
How it goes is they start worrying about STDs. They get a little irritation and go, oh, I've got one. They see dermatologist, urologist, like four or five of them. And then they'll come to a generalist like me because they get sort of dismissed and blown off by all the specialists. And they'll go, look, there's a shiny spot. There's a little spot. Do you see the irritation? It's driving me crazy. It's so awful. And you can't see a damn thing. There's nothing there. They've tried all kinds of steroid creams and everything doesn't help. And you put them on an SSRI, which, by the way, works for all body dysmorphias.
It does.
And thing goes away immediately. Goes away immediately.
You
had this experience?
They're not preoccupied.
Well, I have
with
since
that becomes their obsession, but they're no longer the obsessive ruminations.
We talked about how, Drew, speaking of SSRIs, I'm going to go ahead and need you to make that call tonight.
No.
Well, what? Listen to this.
What the fuck is going on with this?
I ordered. See, you can see.
I made your last one refillable.
You made it. Okay. Yeah. I made it.
Did you want him to call now?
I made my prescription from Express Scripts, which I would. They sent me 7 fucking pills.
Oh. Hmm.
What is it?
That means they're not going to cover it.
Oh, and fine. Then I'll pay. But either way, just send me my goddamn medication.
Yeah, you need it. What is it?
The rest SSRIs, both of them.
Can we get him some?
I can get him. I've been getting him across.
Well, Drew's a real doctor. He just calls in a prescription for me, and I go and I'll pay.
He doesn't just play one on TV.
Right. But here's the thing. With my body dysmorphia, which, all kidding aside, goes much larger than like the way I look at my penis. It was so crippling that in my first marriage in the early 2000s, I would shower with a shirt on. I'd take my shirt off when I got in the shower because I would possibly walk by a mirror. I had a really bad body dysmorphia.
When did it start? What age?
Junior high school, I would say.
Okay.
Probably. That sounds about right.
Yeah. Wow. And you never got naked in front of anyone?
Oh, no. Not unless it was
what
for...
What about you at sex?
Not unless for his comedy.
Even when you were, like, jacked up on steroids and stuff?
Yeah, even... It was actually probably worse.
What about when you were wasted?
I think I found a little comfort zone, like maybe, like, sophomore year in high school,
You would get out and pose down in a fucking...
Yeah, but I honestly
you
did
can't
that.
You can't wear, like, a snowsuit if you're a bodybuilder.
I know,
stage.
But I did that as a way to, like...
Compensate.
One of my therapists thought it would be, like, a good idea to trial by fire. Like,
to take steroids and then go do a competition?
No. I don't think she was aware of steroid use.
Oh, how ridiculous is that she didn't know?
How long we went?
Because I don't think most people, Drew, like, you have not only a working knowledge of like muscle building and like strength training because of your own personal like hobbies.
Your exercise bulimia.
Drew's like very good in very
workaholic.
Good shape.
What else? Should we just call all of our issues out?
But let's not only that, fun. But you're a doctor, so I think that you understand that human beings don't grow 30 pounds of muscle in a year. It just doesn't happen. No. But she like that was a main issue for me when I was in my first marriage because a lot of other stuff got when my wife left me. My first wife left me. Then I started focusing on other things. Like the body dysmorphia almost got better by virtue of not paying attention to it.
Mm. Okay.
But during the time when we were married, that was my main focus when I was going to therapy was like trying to deal with.
And you hadn't focused on it before in therapy?
No, no.
Okay, because it really like it was kind of something that you just were.
Yeah,
in your
because
mind
well, because I was.
But you hadn't talked to anyone about it in therapy.
I think it hit an apex during my first marriage because my body dysmorphia became so much more clear because I was also sober.
Right.
When I got married to my first wife, I was 3 or 4 years sober.
Okay.
So by that time, I started to kind of a lot of things in my life became more clear. When I was 19 and had bad body dysmorphia, I just do coke. And everything went away.
Right.
Well, all dysmorphia.
Right, you just numbed everything. Yeah. So now you're dealing with that. But do you feel like it's getting bad? Do you feel like you're making progress in it? I mean, I know you make the jokes about the small penis.
Besides.
But is it still crippling?
It's still uncomfortable. Like I surf a lot. And when I take off my wetsuit, if it's hot enough where I'm not swimming.
You could be like, I'm in the pool. Remember that Seinfeld episode? It shrinks anyway. What? Do you remember that?
Yeah.
I was in the pool.
Oh, yeah.
You want to hear a little joke about that?
I think you're saying, though, even just taking the wetsuit off in public,
forget the
penis.
See. Okay, I was
just I'm just saying, like, just like seeing my physique is a thing. Like, I do a lot of photo shoots, not a lot, but I've done photo shoots in my life, like when I was on Dancing with the Stars or when I was in certain magazines. And they're like, hey, Mr. Muscle Man, go ahead and take that shirt off so we can get that shot. And I was like, you got to be fucking kidding me.
Right.
And I'd be like, to real photographers for like details.
In such good shape,
and I'd be like,
okay. What, Bell? Okay.
And I'd be like, whoa, you've got to be kidding me. And they would have this conversation with me like it was a real possibility that I would take my shirt off.
Right. No, he didn't worry. They got on meds, and the meds took care of it.
So the meds – so that was just recently.
He was leading to
the
SSRIs.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So now you're on SSRIs for depression and the body's
– And a latent benefit.
You better
benefit,
get him tonight for him.
A latent benefit has been that I've really found my stride. At least I'm a lot better than I've ever been before with
happy.
The body dysmorphia.
Good.
It really works very, very well. Remarkably well.
Okay. So this is what – I got to give my little like – I assume most people know who you guys are, but just in case.
No, most people don't know who I am. Most people probably know who Drew is.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Okay, but Dr. Drew. Okay, so Loveline's been on for 30-some-odd years. And there's been a few other hosts, like Adam Carolla, people might know of. And now it's Mike Catherwood. And you guys are awesome. And it's been an honor and kind of a dream to be on the show with you guys.
Well, thank
once
you.
A week, I guess, guest co-host on Thursday nights. It's fun, and you're both here.
We love
here.
Having Emily there.
Yes, we do.
Really.
I'm glad, because really. I love being there. Like, I really do.
It's hard for me from a broadcasting standpoint, but as a on a personal and professional level, it's the best.
Why? Because I talk to
Because
vets?
No one has worse Tourette's than Dr. Drew, except maybe Emily Morris. And I'll be like, here's the number to call in to my call-in radio show, 1-800. But here,
and
then Drew jumps in, and then I'm like, wait. Can I just wait, give out the number
like,
at least?
Look at this Instagram. No, I know. It's okay. I'm sorry. But
yeah, I'll reference something visual in the room. Then she'll start talking about it.
Emily, look. It's a picture of Elvis.
You're like on Instagram surfing the hot chicks all the time.
But at least I got my fucking mouth shut.
No, you do. It's true. Okay, so listen. So you guys, and also you've both been married happily 25 years? 23 years. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Triplets who are 21.
22.
Great kid. 22, right. 22. Great kids. And Mike, 2 years married.
Just 2 years. Last week.
I saw your picture on Instagram. It was
beautiful. Emily's the personal consultant to one of my sons.
Yeah, that's right.
I am. Oh, he's like, the other night he's like, you're a mad genius. You're like, you're a magician. I was texting him just advice in college.
I know which son it is. And he said those words.
He's awesome. Why? Because he...
Because the other son wouldn't say that. He'd go,
"You good? Thank you."
No, he was awesome. I love. Well, I don't know all your kids, but I'm.
You're a mad genius.
Okay, so anyway,
I can't believe how much you've helped me. That's one son,
dude.
Drew knows I'm right.
I don't know if I should say this out loud.
I can't begin to express my.
Don't embarrass him.
I won't say it.
No, don't say that.
You can say it, but not in front of me.
But I'm just saying, like, one son. I can't begin to express how grateful I am for this.
That we closed a deal that we were working on. Okay.
The anal?
Has to do with women. No, anal. You think he's... No, please. Speaking of anal, we're going to get into that minute because... Okay, so Love Line's been around...
That's Emily's book. Speaking of anal.
Speaking of anal. Is that a bad title?
It's a good title.
Okay, so Love Line's amazing. You could listen to it 5 nights a week. You could download the podcast, all that stuff. Okay, so... And then Drew, HLN, you're all over the place. Teen Mom, Celebrity Rehab, they recognize you.
Drew's really becoming one of the fixture, like really one of the main faces of not only HLM, but like the CNN company as a whole.
Well, he should be. Someone needs to
be 2015 is going to be an important year for that show.
Yeah? What's going to happen?
We're getting an audience in there. It's going to be really cool.
That is going to be very cool. Yeah. So everyone should check that out.
They're starting to hire Latinos.
And Mike, if you don't know who Mike is, you're on there sometimes.
He's going to be on a lot.
Everyone freaks out, right? Because Mike is not, Mike is a good counter to you.
He's not HLN material.
No, but they
Well, he's not CNN material. He's HLN material in terms of where they want HLN to go.
Right.
So it's good.
I'm not HLN material in that most of the people that get mad at me are fucking idiots. And it's a lot of times he'll bring panelists on that like to pander to fucking idiots.
So everyone who doesn't agree with you is an idiot?
No, not at all.
But don't you do things that like freak people out like in the middle of the show? Like Sam, his co-host. Mike has an obsession with big... penises pick photos that he sends around.
I've actually moved beyond that. It's more to gape, right, Drew? That's my.
Yeah, where's my phone?
And didn't you like do something a video? Because Susan Pinsky comes up to me. She goes, Michael has a video that he's showing tonight of his daughter saying anal gaping. I'm really concerned. I'm like, she's only a few months old. She's probably not really saying it. Isn't that funny? Is that bad? Say it loud. Anyway, Susan told me it must be true. But Mike, okay, so 10 years you were on Kevin and Bean, very popular LA morning show.
Yep.
Cycle Mike.
Yeah, that was
AKA.
Me.
And then Loveline 4 years ago, and you were also on Dancing with the Stars.
It'll be
my
five
favorite
this
part
March.
Is that he's... Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. I can't believe it. It really has flown by.
And then my favorite part of Dancing with the Stars is that you slept with everyone on the show. I want to Google it on YouTube.
In defense of the married women on the show, I didn't sleep with everyone. I slept with a considerable amount of girls.
Okay, yeah. Got it. So that was pretty awesome. Yeah. And also, if you want to find out Twitter and Instagram, you're
what
at
is
Dr.
the number?
Drew.
I've never asked you that.
Of dancers or of people total?
Yeah, of the from the production.
Six.
Okay, that's what
and
I
how long were you there?
I was not. I was voted for off first.
I know you were off first, but
he was there about 3 weeks.
He was too busy boning to get over the dancing. Do you think that if you spent more time practicing the moves, you might have? We're on Ustream right now too. If you wanted to do anything, do you think that you would have? Maybe would have voted off second.
Sex aside, I think if I would have like really applied myself more, I could have done better.
Because you weren't taking it seriously.
I didn't take it seriously at all. In fact, I went out of my way to not because I felt it sounds so crazy. Like back then when I was young, but that was only like 3-4 years ago. But I just had a different view of it. I thought it somehow wouldn't be
were you
cool.
Like a self hating dancer.
No, it's like it wouldn't be cool if I tried hard. If I really learned the moves, that wouldn't be punk rock and cool. So I just like I had this attitude where it's like I knew I was the least popular guy. I had the least amount of fame. So that already was like really working against me.
No, that's true. You could have like swept onto the dance floor and kicked ass just because you weren't well known.
If I was the greatest dancer in the history of that show, I wouldn't have beat like
and the
Kirstie Alley's.
And the producer who
and
banged
stuff.
And then you banged her assistant was probably like, he's off. And they like rigged it.
Mm, yeah. No, the girl, I made sure that the girls that I was lucky enough to make love to were not powerful enough to kick me off the show.
Okay, got it. Well, that's smart. Yeah. Okay, so Love Line. How did you guys meet?
Oh, we met.
You met years ago, right?
Yeah, we met because we both are from the Pasadena area, and Drew was at the time like a huge fixture in the recovery community there.
Still is.
Because he was working in a he's working in the addiction medicine department of a past.
He was running that program. Yeah, was chairman of the program.
Okay. And so that and once being my home neighborhood, and then also me finally getting clean and sober there.
12 years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 12, a little over 12 years. So.
Okay, so that's when you met, when you were getting sober. Yeah. So he was actually there. Wow, he treated you, sort of. Can we not talk about that?
No, okay, of course. Yeah.
Wow. So little Mike Catherwood detoxing the whole thing must have been...
He has to tell that story,
okay.
Not me.
Okay, yeah. Right. We're going to talk about that. But this is what I want to know. So then you guys came together, did Love Line. And so, I just want to ask you both. Well, no, first I'll ask Drew. Who's your favorite co-host been so far?
Mike, of course. Well, if Emily were a regular fixture, it'd be Emily.
It'd be Emily.
Okay, good answer. Okay, so I just want to know, 30 years on Love Line, and you've even been here for five, and you listened to Love Line because you used to prank call when you were like 12.
Love Line.
Right,
he
so
was,
did
he
I.
He like the Corolla years.
Right.
Those were the golden era for me. Yeah.
But I want to know what you guys think of how, what has changed in sex and relationships
right,
over the last
so
30 years?
A lot has changed. When I began, I initially began, really what motivated me was HIV and AIDS. Neither terms had been coined yet, by the way, at the time. We were still calling it gay-related intestinal disease syndrome. We were
Grits.
Just
it wasn't until like 87
we
even.
We just began to call it AIDS. We did not have a causative agent. The term safe sex hadn't been coined yet. We had
Drew, I'm sorry to interrupt, but before GRIDS, wasn't there a time in where it was actually called the gay flu?
There was a time when they didn't know what the hell. Yeah. They had all kinds of names and all kinds of ideas about it. And when I was...
That's a good band name,
yeah, by the time
way.
I hit the
ward, gay flu.
They were starting called AIDS, and we were just putting people on the ground hand over fist. And I thought, oh, my God. And nobody was talking to young people. There was still a sense in this country. We'd just been through the sexual revolution.
Right.
And nobody thought that adolescents would follow in the footsteps of the adults. Well, adolescents are not to have sex. They right. don't even
There's
discuss
no
it with them.
Nothing.
No, don't discuss it with them. That's adults.
What do you consider adolescents when you're talking about this?
Under 21.
Okay.
And I was like, hey, fuck that. I know right. what people are doing. I've been seeing it all the way through high school, and now I'm in college, and I'm in medical school. This is not something that just started.
Right.
Young people are engaged in sexual activity, and they need to know about this thing because it's not going to just – people were convinced it was just a gay phenomenon at the time.
Right.
And it was clear to me it was infectious disease.
So that's what got you in here, but then the calls started coming in.
Well, no, it got me in, and that's mostly what kept me here. I was once a week. It was Sunday nights, midnight to 3 in the morning.
Wow.
And I'd stay a week.
It was one
night a week. I'd stay an hour or two, and it got popular fast and would sort of move to 10 to 1 at one point. And I wouldn't stay all 3 hours typically. I just thought it was important to pump out this information. I did it
about
for free.
Safe sex.
Safe sex was not a term that had been coined yet. And condoms were behind the counter.
Yeah, I guess so embarrassing.
You had to line up and ask the pharmacist to get you the condom. And I was advocating this, and no one was talking about it. And over the course of 2 years, it went from like, what the hell do you think you're doing, to it being, all doctors need to do this now. And it was a very difficult time for me. That's why I didn't use my last name. I didn't tell anybody I was doing it. I was very secretive about it. And it was fun and interesting and different. And I did it for 10 years for free. I thought I was doing community service.
Wow. And the show got popular right away, pretty much.
Pretty fast.
There's nothing. I mean, serious people have tried. I tried. I kicked off the radio. No. My show didn't last. No, but I'm kidding. I didn't try to copyright. Mine's different. But Loveline, no one else has been able to come up against it. I mean, you really.
Yeah, we don't.
It's the only place that everyone grew up on it. That's how that people learned about sex because there's nowhere else to
go. No, there's other places and other people. Hold on. There's other people, places, and other people have tried. The truth is, and I hate to say it with him here. There's no one can do the clinical aspect of it the way Drew can.
True.
He's the best at it. It's absolutely
people love it.
No one's in that ballpark because
I got it.
There's plenty of people who can give you the clinical backing to all sorts of syndromes and diseases. There's plenty of people who are very entertaining on the radio and do it in a compelling and listenable way. There's nobody like Drew who can
right.
do both.
He's both, exactly. Yeah. That's why you've been here. So what else has changed? Like anal sex?
So that was that. So that was that was that. And there was through that decade, it was sort of a naive notion that I remember back when Dr. Ruth was telling people how to have good sex. And I was like, no, people know how to have good sex. What they don't understand is how not to get pregnant, how not to get STDs.
Right.
And it was a naive time. And there's no internet. There's no place for young people to go to get information. STD.
Yeah. Sex education is abysmal in America.
Listen, and in the infectious disease and the reproductive health stuff, infectious disease was behind this veneer of, this is venereal diseases.
ugh. Right. And no one had any sense of what these things were, what the different names were, what they meant, what they looked like. They knew nothing. It was amazing. It was just
so
absolutely totally ignorant.
Did you know that, or you'd have to go back and study? Because you
no, I saw all the time in clinics. Well, I saw tons of it. There was so much. There was a lot out there then, and I was just that's what I was pushing. STDs and birth control. That's sort of what I was really.
That's how it all started.
And then it went from that after about 15 years to more of the trauma stuff started emerging. The trauma. People, it became increasingly clear that people were acting out the traumas, but it wasn't as pervasive as it is now. It was just starting to kind of surface, and people were making bad choices in relationships, and they were having compulsive reenactments, and that part got into it. And the information was starting to come from different places, so it was trying to straighten people out, and more about relationships, and really dealing with the consequences of not such good healthy family systems.
Right, which that's kind of the same now,
well,
too.
But now it's meltdown now. Now it's horrible family systems and horrible trauma, and it's just gotten worse, worse, worse.
You think families have gotten worse?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
How so? More trauma
than before? How many kids are raised with two parents in this country? Or wedlock? I mean, is it, I can't.
But didn't the divorce?
What's the percentage for the African American and Hispanic community? It's shock. It's science fiction.
Right.
You know, when you find out how many people really have a stable home life in those communities.
But even the married people who were like coming from homes where their parents were still married could still have the abuse and the trauma.
It just got worse and worse.
Okay, when we come back, we're going to talk about what else happened with that.
And then anal sex. And anal sex was in there.
Yeah. We got to throw it in. All right, we are going to take a quick break, and we'll come back with more. There's nothing quite like sinking your teeth into a good sandwich. But listen, carb guilt is real. I'm someone who's very invested in my health, and I like to get my carbs from oats and beans and fruits and not bread. But I love bread. So here's my hack. Thanks to Hero Bread, you can enjoy your favorite bready delights without the carb consequences. Hero Bread has turned those carby, empty calorie bread products into fluffy, delicious breads that boast 0 to 1 net carbs per serving, 0 grams of sugar, and are packed with loads of fiber and protein. The first time I tried their white bread, I was skeptical. Could it really taste good with such impressive nutritional stats? Well, I'm pleasantly surprised to say it absolutely does. The texture is just phenomenal. It's like this soft, airy, and it just toasts up like a dream. I've whipped up everything from grilled cheese to PB&J and even made enchiladas, wraps, and tacos with their tortillas. Each time, Hero Bread has been a game changer. And here's the kicker. Despite its light texture and great taste, Hero Bread fits perfectly into my health goals. It's been adding more fiber to my diet while keeping the sugar at bay. Whether I'm packing a picnic lunch, planning a road trip snack, which I often do, or prepping French toast for breakfast, Hero Bread is my go-to. So whether you're craving a classic sandwich, a burger, or a hearty bun, or even indulging in a low net carb croissant, Hero Bread is something for everyone. And I highly recommend checking their monthly small batch drops out so you can try goodies like the 1 gram net carb Hero Cheddar Biscuit and so much more. You won't believe what they have. So you ready to kick carb guilt to the curb? Head over to hero.co and snag 10% off your order with the code Emily. That's Emily at hero.co. Okay, back to anal sex. I'm with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood, host of Loveline and so many other things. But I'm thinking about sex because I know since I started my show 10 years ago, like no one... Maybe anal sex, people were just starting to talk about it. I feel like squirting's the new anal. That's kind of come out
exactly
more.
Right. There was a lot of – like when Mike was first started joining the show, there was preoccupation with how do I get my girlfriend to have anal sex?
Right.
There's weird preoccupation on the part of men. And then it became squirting.
Right,
but that's in the last 7 years, those two preoccupations have
exactly. hit. Exactly. So that's changed. And then people you think are just more messed up childhoods and all that stuff you said. So
way more. And that, of course, gets acted out in their romantic lives.
Always. It's the patterns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They had our parents and all that stuff. Okay. So – I want to talk about sex after marriage to both of you.
After marriage?
Yeah.
To my wife?
Relationships.
Or to
no, just in general, because you're both in relationships. Mike, you've been married for 2 years.
Uh-huh.
You've been with your wife for 4 years, 3 years?
3.5, yeah.
Okay, and Drew, 23? Yep. 23. Okay. So you both seem happy. I mean, you know, you never really know what goes on behind closed
I'm
doors.
Very. I am.
I know. You guys both truly
I hate to make
seem happy.
Even like that hackney joke. I am so overwhelmingly happy in my marriage. Yeah.
I know. It's kind of annoying. Emily. Sickening.
She's like repelled by it.
I'm like, you guys really are. But really, what? I mean, what? How do you make it work? How do you even want to have? I mean, you're still.
I really think a big part, two big parts for me. Correct me if
Tommy,
I'm wrong.
Best tips. Mm-hmm.
One is where you are in your life.
Yeah.
So you got to be ready.
For a guy, that's very
you
important.
You have to be ready. It has to be where you are in your life when you're ready to really commit.
Okay.
And then who you choose is really important. I don't think enough goes into that choice. You know, you've got to be – there has to be something renewing about that relationship every day for a long time. And if
what
you're
do
not
you mean renewing about that relationship,
like you got to be into like that not, person. Right. You got to be into it. You got to want to spend time with them. You got to want to listen. You got to be attracted in a way that you know you're going to be attracted long into the future.
Because if like you don't have that attraction at the beginning,
it's not going to build. Well, right. It builds in a certain way. There's a certain element that,
but not in a way that guys are thinking about. Your boner doesn't grow.
Right.
It doesn't.
It doesn't.
You know, but your appreciation for that person. Grows tremendously.
But so many people get married or commit because they're having amazing sex. And they're like, oh, but we have great sex, so we're going to get married. And that fades after time. It can, the attraction. And you realize that I think everyone should get, like, you should fill out a form to talk about your sexual likes, dislikes.
Sexual pleasure.
There's an inventory before you marry someone where you answer all the
questions. Sexual pleasure and sexual the quality of sex is an incredibly important factor into a great relationship, in my opinion. This is, you know, you're asking what makes it work. This is incredibly subjective. I'm assuming, you know, Dr. Drew and his wife, they have an excellent marriage, but so much that goes into it is so unique to each relationship.
Yeah.
It's like saying, what's the best diet? You know,
yeah,
you know
right.
Well, it's so personal.
Right.
But
that's a really important point.
But you have to focus. I think it's
sure.
Think
but
it's
I was going to say the big thing is that without question, sex is a very important factor. But for men, especially, if you want to be able to really successfully engage in monogamy, you have to analyze whether or not this woman makes your quality of life better outside of the bedroom, because I've been in plenty of relationships where, you know, to quote the Kings of Leon, the sex was on fire, but it was, I mean, I think we talked about off the air last week, Emily, where I was saying, I remember moments where I was with this one girl where I actually was like searching for things to say to her. And like, I'd be in the moment looking at her. I'd be like, fuck, we have nothing in common. I better fuck her. Because and we'd be away on weekends. We'd be like on vacations.
Come up with a topic.
No, we'd be on vacations on weekends, like weekends away. And I'd be like, well, and I'd honestly just look at her. We'd be like watching TV or something. And I'd be like, let's go have sex. And because I would force myself to just have sex with her because that was the only time we ever got like really had a connection.
I think that's really common that people are like, realize, oh, I'm kind of bored.
You have to be the global sort of phenomenon. I think is you have to be excited to be with that person. Has to be fun to be with them.
Yeah, exactly. You
all the time.
Keep, right, exactly.
You all the time. You got to think, yeah. Am I ever going to get tired of this? Is there something that's going to tire in some way or it's going to change in such a way and I'll tire of it?
I think that a lot of it, too, to achieve very romantic means, to achieve incredibly romantic ends, sometimes you got to really roll up your sleeves and engage in a lot of very unromantic means. And what by that I mean... to achieve this relationship, this marriage where you just you love every moment of it, like I'm describing, where I just am so happy in my marriage. A lot of times it's not just about roses and nights out and fucking.
Of course,
it's about like us having serious conversations about learning to respect each other as people. And I could never imagine doing that with any other person, right. Even my first wife,
but people
who is
don't
a very
know
good
this.
Person.
Like, I feel like there's so many guys, and this is just, you know, I'm talking to a lot of people now, you know, who've been in relationships and even in their 20s, I'm talking to people. They're like, oh, you know, men typically will date someone that they're really attracted to. And that's all they're not thinking about all these other things that I have to really
also
like them.
Also building
and
a life with that person.
Right,
that's
but
something
they don't.
Nobody ever thinks
so, like,
about.
She's
men
super
don't.
Hot. I'll marry you did it.
How
she's
do you
hot.
Build
I'll marry her.
A life
great
with
sex.
Somebody.
But they're not thinking, I might be bored by this person. They're not. But women, we're more like, is he funny? Is he smart? Does he entertain me? Guys are just like the physical.
I always say when in
how
a dating,
guys
in
to
a
get
dating
over to
situation,
like, you're going to want to be entertained. You're going to want to be, you know, have a good time.
Well, that's really hard
but
to
how
do
that
to a young man because right.
I don't mean that
to belittle younger guys. It's just like hormonally, biologically, you're set up. You're not really set up to look at women as a way of who's going to entertain me. I mean, you're just not.
I know, but
you're
women are.
Animal.
So I think that men should kind of like have some that this could happen.
What should happen?
Bored. She's hot, but find a hot girl in the bar and I can show you something.
Well, what should happen?
Tired of having sex with her.
Which would solve the problem for both men and women is that women and men should wait till they're in their 30s to get married.
Oh, yeah.
I think so, too.
That's why.
Do not get married.
Because women will then start to kind of discover themselves sexually more, and it'll level out that way. And men will start to discover themselves emotionally and psychologically more, and it'll level them out that way. And it makes for much better matchmaking as opposed to in your early 20s when women are – not necessarily. Not most women aren't necessarily at their
sexual.
They're not sexually aware.
They're not sexually aware
themselves.
It's so true.
And they can't. They don't have the lust that a man has. And then men are emotional. They're insane. They're like tornadoes because they're just these walking testosterone factories.
Well, that's why I tell people to work for me. I'm like, just in their 20s. I'm like, it's okay. Like, don't get attached yet. These guys don't know emotionally. You don't even know what you want. You gotta date around a little.
A big factor too is I had to in my first marriage and. You said that, well, you married someone for the looks, too.
Or for
I
her
did.
Body.
I married a way hot person for my first marriage. But it wasn't because of sexual reasons. In fact, we didn't have sex at all. I could probably count on one hand.
I thought you just kept having sex with her because you didn't want to talk to her.
No, that was my girlfriend before I married my wife.
Oh, it's so confusing.
Yeah, I know.
All the women, do you have, like, a flow chart?
But I was just saying is that a big factor for me is that I took my family of origin as a model of what good marriage is, and you shouldn't always do that. I mean, that's not
because your parents had a good.
My parents are still married, but we've talked about it on the air. I've never heard my parents tell each other they love them. I know my parents don't fuck, and they probably haven't for 25 years. I've never seen my parents hold hands.
That's so hard when that's what you see in your home. You think that that's normal.
I thought
abuse. Well, my dad was always hitting my mom.
I really thought that the sitcom idea of marriage was the way it was because that's the way my dad worked his fingers to the bone, complained about not having sex. My mom complained about how my dad's never around. And it was like Home Improvement or any other sitcom. It's like, oh, I love my wife, but geez, I got to tell you about the strife I feel. And I just thought that's the way life was. You marry someone and then you don't fuck them and then you live together and a guy works and a woman complains about it.
Exactly. And you didn't realize that you could have it all.
I didn't even understand.
Because we don't have a model. You don't have a model of it. Like, I didn't have a model of like a happy family, happy marriage.
Right.
That's why I'm still here talking about it.
Your stupid dad was dead.
I know. But he was married 3 times before he died. So he went out like high. Like, it was a honeymoon. He died. Sort of. I mean, it was a month later, but yeah.
Oh, my God.
I know. In Mexico, he had a heart attack. He's 49. And I think if he was here, they would have been able to save him. He was in Cancun, right? So, yeah, that was a bummer.
I will be the first to say my people, not at the top of the medical flow chart.
Dude. Really. Seriously. Like, why was he in Mexico? Okay, I want to talk about porn, which is one of Mike's favorite pastimes and
subjects. I like porn a lot.
So what do you guys think about this whole porn, like how it's affecting people's relationships?
It's negatively
right now.
Affecting people's relationships.
Hard to measure yet. I think we think we're seeing young males that are sort of disengaged from relationships because they'd rather not deal with a person. Since they've got porn, it's perfect.
Yeah, it's so
fine.
Good.
It's all
porn
they need.
Is so good nowadays.
It's all they need.
No, you laugh, but... I mean that it's
what's going to happen when they get those virtual reality?
But then they can't even have sex with a regular person with a woman.
They don't want to.
Because
it's work. They'll literally
because their brains are getting rewired into just being that. They keep raising the bar of what's
hot. There's that, but there also is the fact that I hear young males say the following thing. Like, girls, they're kind of crazy. It's kind of
fucking issues.
They're hassle. They get mad. I'm fine.
And they don't even want relationships.
They know it's too much of a hassle.
You want to know an analogy I always use, and I think it is a good one. It's kind of like sports and video games nowadays. A 12-year-old kid in 1980, let's see, and I was 12 years old in 1990. In 1990, you could only play Legend of Zelda on the original Nintendo for so long before you got bored with a fucking stupid game. And then you guys, I better go out and shoot some hoops, play some baseball. You really aren't that motivated to go break a sweat and have to deal with the grit of playing real football when you have Madden on an Xbox. It is so awesome. It is so fucking great. The gameplay is so smooth. The graphics are so hot. Why deal with the other part of getting sweaty and possibly getting a concussion?
Okay, so porn just keeps your interest in.
There's hot ass chicks that you can get for free. I can go to RedTube right now and put in anal.
Remember, a huge component of the male sexual experience is visual.
Right.
And you're gratifying
better than they can get in real life.
But they don't
visually.
Even know because they're so young.
They don't care.
How do you get them back?
Their visual system tells them that's
because,
it.
Because, Emily,
that's
you're missing the point. That they are so young. When I was so young, I was over the moon if I got my hands on a Victoria's Secret catalog. That was like – I was that fucking
home
run.
So is it all
run.
The same then? Do you think it's the same same thing that you had a catalog and that you
– No, my point is I was very motivated to go find a real woman because
– Right, because that's all you
all
had
All I had was like a shot – like a maybe an underwear shot of Leanne Tweeden in Fredericks of Hollywood.
Is
you
that
know?
Why you have her on the show? Because we can come and
– I told her. I've spilled so much jizz over
I know.
Her.
I remember. I was here. This is what I'm going to say too, is that not only is it affecting men, but women typically in their 20s don't know their bodies as well.
Right.
And then I have friends who are like in their 30s, 40s, sleeping with women in their 20s. They're like, I swear to God, they all have sex like porn stars. Like they don't even
really.
Yeah, like they're trying to act. Yeah, you're like, really?
Divorce.
Damn. No, but not in the way that it's good. Like it's in a way that they're playing a role because that's how they think they should act. Like the moaning and the way they move.
And mind you, a lot of young males think that's
authentic.
What they're supposed to be.
Right, and that's why they're pounding away doing the jackhammer at them, and it's just a terrible place that. How to learn about actually how to have sex that they're learning through porn.
I said that learning to have sex is like by watching porn is like learning to box by watching Rocky.
Exactly.
It's a terrible way to do it.
I know. But I get that it exists and it's not going anywhere. I just wish that people would like listen to Loveline, listen to my
Well, in defense of the adult industry, there's a lot of value to it too. I'm not an anti-porn guy. I just think that you have to kind of digest porn differently than we used to. You got to understand it's a very powerful force. It really
and
is.
And, Mike, dig this. Dig.
Yeah.
Something we've not talked about.
Go.
Is I have a sense that in the last year or so, maybe even 9 months, it has improved a little bit. And I wonder if it's Tinder. That the ease of access has sort of translated over. Now the internet has made it also easy to make a physical connection or a human connection. They're sort of the bar has come down a bit, and now they're more likely to go out into the world. Now, mind you, it's not exactly the healthiest thing,
right? Because they're just hooking up and then going home.
But am I right? Is that
it? Maybe. Yeah.
I feel like the porn stuff is just on a rise because I feel like at every party, outing that I go to, there's always someone who pulls me aside, and usually I use it as like a litmus test of whatever questions they're asking. Like for a while, everyone's like asking about threesomes. How did I get my way to have a threesome? And then it was anal, and now it's all about guys are like. I watch a lot of porn. I don't want to do. I do it once a day. And this guy pulled me aside. He's like, twice a day. Is that bad? He's like, okay, actually, it's 7 times a day. And
I
can't.
Well, they're
have
guilty
sex.
About it because they don't know. It's so intense. It's so gratifying.
It's really and I'm not kidding. A big problem is it's so good and so available. It's the women are so attractive. The camera angles and it's so good. The quality of porn is so high. That it makes it a much more dangerous entity. That's
and then
all.
Do you think that men that are being more judgmental than they're with a woman, they're like, her makeup's not perfect, her boobs aren't perfect. Like, I'm just not attracted
to her. I don't know.
Yeah,
what I do think, getting back to Tinder is that, and I don't think this, I know this from my own, I don't know if the control size was big enough. Not the control size.
Control group.
The control group was big enough because I talked to 3 or 4 girls, my wife's friends, who were quite attractive in their mid-20s, actually, like very successful, everything going. Any guy on earth would have been happy to be with these girls, and they're all using Tinder. And I'm like, "What's up with that?" And I read,
"Why are they having to use
it?" And I read what these guys are writing them. Okay, and every guy is a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
And then I start talking to them. And I say, "Well, what's with dating nowadays?" And she's like, "Well, I went out with this guy the other day. She's 28. This girl I'm talking about. She's awesome. So hot. She's successful in her own right." She's like, I went out with this guy, he's 45, and we sit down to dinner, and he's like, look, I'm not going to play games with you unless we're in, like, some serious sex stuff, like multiple partners. I don't even want to, I'll drive you home right now. And I go, what a dickbag. And the other two girls were like, oh, yeah, that sounds like that's pretty much par for the course. So I go, wait, explain to me dating in 2014,
right.
Because I'm out of the loop. I never even did it when I was single. I didn't really date. So everything I'm noticing is that guys have no idea how to behave or treat women anymore because of
they
porn and then Tinder.
They prematurely escalate the sex conversation, too, which you should never even talk about on the first date. And then you get
you can't blame
them. I like threesomes.
Why? In 1996, it wasn't even an option. Now, if you strike out with 3 chicks, you still have 350 million
that's
you have access to on Facebook.
Right.
And they're bound to say yes every once in a while.
Right.
That's why guys, like, they've completely forego the kind of process of getting to know a girl, playing the game. Like, look, I'm not going to lie to you. Sometimes I've said things and done things to manipulate girls to get in bed. But at least I had to say and do things.
Right. You know exactly. What I mean? Now you don't have to.
I never led with, Tinder let's fuck, do you like, squirt? You know, that's exactly. What these guys are saying.
They do. They think it's okay. My friend says it's a blowjob dispensary. He's like, every time I go out on Tinder, like, I get a blowjob. Like, it just happens. Like, these women.
It's like Comic-Con for me. Every time I go to Comic-Con, I get blown
that's
somehow.
Awesome. No, but it's, I mean, Tinder, it really is, and it's also.
Those are furries.
But it's the big, right, that's true, too. There's a bigger, better deal that you, because think about it. Like, 10 years ago, you didn't have people, you know, poking you, whatever they used to poke on Facebook. They're not liking your photo on Instagram. People are meeting from so many different other areas that there's always someone new popping up on your social media chain that in the past was like, you went to a party, you met someone, or you right. didn't, or you
I
were at the store.
I had to.
Yeah.
I'm a generally antisocial guy.
We are not, no
I
one
had
knows
to
how
go
to be
places
social
to
and
meet
intimate.
Women. Yes.
Right. And now you're just lazy. You never leave your house. You're like, this guy liked me on Instagram. And you go down the rabbit chain of like, oh, who else are they? See? And it's just, there's these
friend
people
of mine.
Don't know how to date or how to meet people. And,
I hate to use these sports analogies, Emily. But
I hate sports.
I know. But a friend of mine asked me to drive to San Diego and go to a Chargers game
okay.
about three or four months ago.
Right.
And I thought to myself, yeah, it sounds cool. You know, I love the city of San Diego. Chargers, cool team. See Philip Rivers ball it up. And I thought to myself.
They may be coming up here to join you.
Yeah, no kidding. That'd be awesome. And I thought to myself, you know, I can sit in front of my TV and get HD views of the NFL with breakdowns from really good correspondents and play-by-play guys. I don't really think I need to go into a stadium with 80,000 people and deal with drunks and stuff like that. And I think the same thing for a 18, 19-year-old guy. You come home from a night at the bars and you think to yourself, why am I going to do this again and pay $20 for a cocktail and try to meet girls that aren't necessarily receptive when I can just open up my fucking Facebook and just rifle through
right, exactly. And then
thousands.
You could put it out there. Like yeah. You can like toss the net or whatever right. out to like as many women as you could text. That's why texting, I think, was invented too for guys. Like at night, like the booty calls, they could text 10 different whoever answers first.
Yep.
You know, when it first started, I was like, that's what everyone's doing. And it used to be like you called them, they answered, they didn't. So, and I think that there's this whole like almost boyfriend syndrome, which we talked about on the show last week, that people, it's not even like friends with benefits. It's that someone that feels like they're your partner, but really you're no one's committing to anybody.
Yeah, I've never navigated those roads, but I can see how a grown adult, it's very difficult to have the are we a couple conversation. I mean, how do you do that? And when you're 29, how do you look to another girl and go like, so what are we? I mean, it seems very reasonable at 17. It's just, I don't know. I mean, let's say you go out on your fourth date. You've already been sexually active. You hang out together and you go to lunch in between. You know, your lunch break at work, you go and have lunch together. And it's like you're kind of together. You're sexually active, but like no one's ever said like, "Are we boyfriend girlfriend?" Where does that conversation happen? It's very difficult.
Well, no one's even having it anymore because they don't have models of it, so none of their friends are in relationships.
Well, they're
either.
Also afraid of what they might hear.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of the women are going around. Are going
I'd be
along
mortified.
With it. I think that the women actually might want relationships more so, but the guys aren't doing it. They're not asking for it, and none of their friends are in relationships. So
my wife and I had to have that like it was like a conversation.
Well, most people
and
have
it was
that
uncomfortable, but it was. You know, I'm 35. My wife's 37. And it's like we were grown-ass adults who had already both been married and owned homes and stuff. And it's like to sit down and be like, so are you my boyfriend? It was very weird, you know?
How long had you been together?
When we had that conversation?
Yeah, the conversation.
Like 5 months.
Did you bring it up or she brought it up?
She did.
Always,
right, because you don't
statistically
initiate.
Always brought up by women.
But I just assumed.
That's what I hear. I've never brought it up ever. I hate
it's
the talk.
The
I just assumed.
I'm like, wait, what did you say? I never want it. Well,
yeah,
I'm
but you have
do.
Commitment
I'm
issues.
Do.
Thus,
I do. I
thus
do.
You never have a boyfriend.
No, I've been really, yeah, exactly. I hate I'm like, do we have to talk about they it? All, I'm they, like, but I don't like labels.
Part
don't
of the problem is
you.
They all want to be your boyfriend. I've seen you with three different guys that look like they want to be your boyfriend.
I know, they do.
Yeah, but two of them were fucking dicks.
Who?
I'm not going to say
all of them.
You like all of them? How many have you met?
I've met three.
I've only met.
You met three? No, one.
Three.
Three. Who three? You did not.
I met one whose name rhymed with Schmavid.
You didn't meet him.
Yes, I did.
When? Okay, we'll talk about that.
And then I met the one with your two friends that wanted to be your boyfriend.
Okay.
And then I saw one last weekend.
Right. That, yeah, but that guy doesn't want a beer. We already had that conversation with that dude. He's handsome.
No,
nice.
Now he does. Now he does again.
Really?
Wait, yeah. Who with the conversation?
The guy you with at Acoustic Christmas?
Yeah.
We talk.
You said to him,
girls talk.
No, fucking, he was here. You brought him to Loveline.
But we weren't.
And I go, Emily, what's with this guy's good looking. He's nice. He's charming. And you're like, oh, yeah, he's just my friend. We were friends.
We've been friends for a year and a half and then, you know, hugged up. But we're not like.
Now he's in.
Oh, now he's in.
But whatever.
Three guys want to be boyfriends. I'm just saying.
They do. What's up with that? Okay. Because I think I don't want to.
That's right. What's up with that? That dude's really cool.
He's super nice. I love him. He's great. Awesome. Okay. Very good
friend. So what's the hang-up?
There is no hang-up.
You're just happy cool.
It's Emily. It's Emily.
No, I'm not the hang-up, I swear. In fact, I think...
We'll have to talk with him then.
I've never had the talk in my life, but I'm working on...
You better expand your horizons.
I've never approached a man... Like, you have never approached a woman, Mike, which I find interesting for all the sex you've had. And I've never made the first move. I've never had the talk. And I have been in relationships for 2.5 years.
I've gotten in trouble. I've gotten in trouble talking
about
that.
I met one of those guys
too, didn't I? I don't know who you met. We got to talk about that.
I've gotten in trouble with that, talking about how I don't – I've never, like, asked a girl out and got her number and stuff, and I've fucked, like, too many women account.
Right.
And it's because – and I don't say that because I've gotten in trouble on
–
especially
–
no, well, especially on, like, love advice type podcasts. I've gotten in trouble because guys are like, hey, dude, that's not very helpful to me. And I go, well, I say that only because – for the first half of my dating life, I was high and doing blow. And if you do blow with girls alone, you're gonna fuck them.
Yeah,
and so
that's
it wasn't
why you do it, right?
Right?
You get
drugs
together.
Like it's very easy.
It's not when you're a drug addict. You do it because you want to enjoy the coke together.
Yeah,
but
a lot of times it starts because people
have social anxiety about women. They use a blow. If I get the blow, this woman's gonna sleep with
so
me.
So I was in a very unique world prior to that. Then as soon as I get clean, then I was on TV. So then I was in another very unique situation where girls would just be like, "Hey, how's sex with me sound?" You know, right. And I know that sounds like a...
But even afterwards, those women at the hotel, the MILFs who you were like...
That was insane.
He's just sitting there, like, waiting to go into Loveline. Like, I don't know.
No, it's worse. It's way worse. Okay. I just dropped off a girl who I went on a date with and had sex with, and she was doing a... She was doing a makeup exhibit. She was a hair and makeup for like TV shows. And she was working on a client at that hotel. I dropped her off in her hotel to do her client. And I was waiting at the bar there because I lived in Pasadena at the time and didn't want to drive all the way back to Pasadena before Loveline. So I was like, I have 45 minutes to kill. While I'm in the bar just dropping off a girl, I'm in the bar waiting. And these girls from – these MILFs from Texas are like, hey, how about you come up
MILFs
to this
from
room
Texas
and have sex with us? And I was like, what?
Was their hair like all crazy?
No, they were in their 40s, but they were very attractive. And
I'm sure. And they just gave you blowjobs, right?
Well, no, one of them, like they were preparing to have sex with me.
I love that I know all your
sex. And they were making out with me, and then they both got topless, and then one got full naked and started blowing me. And it was the funniest thing because she was blowing me, and I looked over, and the other one was topless on her BlackBerry, like sending a text to someone. And I'm like, what's going on?
Right, that's kind of weird. It's kind of just a weird
situation.
That's not very good that's rude,
etiquette?
Actually. Thank you very much. Okay, you guys, let's answer an email from one of my listeners.
Let's do it.
Because I think they would love to have your advice because you guys are like professionals.
Yeah.
It's about low sexual confidence. Dear Emily, the last few days my ex, who I ended on okay terms with, started texting me, I don't know.
Okay.
Doesn't say it.
Makes a big difference.
Okay, guys, we'll probably figure it out.
But sorry.
Can we just talk? Okay, the last few days, my ex, who I ended on okay terms with getting back, started texting me. We were goofing around over text when she said that I was the first guy she'd had a hard time getting hard and that I wasn't that big and that I was too hesitant and didn't just take her like she thought I would.
Wait, this was a lot more information.
Okay, so just listen. So this... She made him feel bad sexually.
Yep,
this killed my ego, and now I'm pretty afraid to have sex with women. I've never been really good talking to girls anyway, and so I'm not the most confident guy ever, so it's not like I'm getting a ton of sex to begin with. I work out 6 days a week. I'm studying to become a personal trainer. All of my friends tell me just to focus on that and wait for women to come by, but my thought is, why wait? I haven't had sex in 6 months and haven't had a relationship for a year and a half. Isn't it normal for me to be seeking out a mate? Don't guys usually court girls anyway? I thought maybe you'd have some thoughts on this, Mike. I'm guessing that he's in his 20s and that one woman can do this. Like, I was with a guy who his ex-wife said to him, like, your penis is small. And I'm just telling you, It is not a small penis. It's a lovely penis. It worked fine. I was very happy. I was like, I was shocked.
It's a lovely penis.
It was a really lovely penis. I enjoyed it. It was actually, I would have to say, larger than normal. But she said this one thing to get him at the end of their marriage, and he never got over it.
Yeah.
And so I think this guy, he gets insulted. He's not that big. And how do you recover from that?
How do you restore a castrated male? Is
yes,
what that's
exactly.
about. And it, I think more than anything, as I think about it, it's how vulnerable you were to this in the first place. It's like, why did somebody suddenly get depressed when they had a sudden stressor? Like, they just put some over the edge. So there already was trouble.
He was already worried about his...
He's just not whole. And if you're not whole, if you hear his email, hey, dude, why don't you just go hang out with people? You're doing personal training. You know how to talk to people, relate to people. You must be able to. You're doing a training work. Start just taking people out for coffee and hanging out. Probably the same stuff you're telling my son. just hang
just
out.
Just don't think about it.
Yeah, just men, hang women. Out. Just enjoy the time with people, and stuff will naturally happen. And if you're really into them, be open and honest. But just, you know, don't – if you're whole, it's hard for somebody to take you apart. If you're already fragmented and fearful and unable to hold it together, somebody can just pull it down and the house of cards falls. You got to build yourself back up, which some of the women are telling him already, which it takes time. That's right. Some women are already telling him that, which is right, which is just focus on your work and focus on, you know, feeling good about yourself in the world, and then start dating people. But don't jump into sex necessarily right away. But really don't fall in love with anybody either.
Exactly.
Just start hanging out. And if sex happens, great. If it doesn't, also great. And see if you can get some experiences where you get back up on the horse.
Right. And he probably feels confident, Mike, when he's at, you know, work. So start channeling some of those skills of when you're confident.
These he might.
Vibrators. Yeah, right? Because these are things he's good at. I'm sure he's being trained.
You never know. I mean, I think that you'd be shocked. I think that young guys, very young guys, 20s, teens, they have a hard time even admitting to themselves how much their status in the world, socially, professionally, how much it affects their ego.
Profound.
I mean, yeah, I think that...
Well, especially young guys in their 20s when they don't make enough money, you know, they...
Right,
yeah,
but, well, no, but my point is that if you don't go to Ivy League school when you're in college, if you don't make a lot of money when you get out of college, if you don't have a job, if you look at yourself in a way that isn't necessarily boosting to your own ego, that... plays a huge role in how you look at yourself in the bedroom. I don't think you get it's a shame that you have to be really old and over the hill to a point to ever realize that.
I just think that everyone needs to go to therapy in their 20s.
Well, I was going to say I would think therapy would be an important thing for him he does kind of have his life together, and yet he still feels empty.
I think couples need it. Mm-hmm. I think that individuals, and I know I'm like, you want to say it again, like go to therapy, and everyone thinks that they can't afford it. There's always ways to get it. There's sliding scales.
But real quick.
What?
It's very important, and I don't think women understand this by and large.
Yes.
Drew, don't you agree that from an outsider's point of view, ostensibly this young man does have his life together, but that doesn't matter because it doesn't matter until he feels like he has his
life
together.
That's right. He has to feel like and also
I was a part of a worldwide –
because you think other things will fill you up.
I was part of a legacy radio show sitting next to Dr. Drew every single night. I was on Dancing with the Stars. I was flying back and forth from New York doing Regis and Kelly, and – No.
Just kidding.
You would have thought that I was cleaning up the jizz at a late night porn theater. I mean, that's how I felt about myself.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how many times people tell you you're beautiful, you're amazing, you're smart, you're sexy, until you believe that yourself, it's not going to fill you up.
Yeah.
But particularly for men
in their career.
What I call it is sort of your position in the world. You have to know who you are as a man in the world, what your contribution is, what your worth is, how you're going to make a difference in the world. And the other – that's one take-home message from that story you just read us. And the other is women do not appreciate the impact they have on men.
A lot of
men are still – 40-year-old men walking around still in pain over something – somebody said to them when they were 11.
Exactly.
Or
like
17.
This guy with the peanut. I mean, right,
like
exactly. So you've got to realize what's holding you back, and if you need to go to therapy. I don't know what other way to say therapy. Sometimes it feels like a broken record, but that's how we've all been in therapy, and that's how you work it out. So we got to go because we got to do another show. But I know. I have 100 other things I want to talk to you about.
Well, it was very nice to join you on Sex with Emily.
I love this. Mm-hmm. This has been meant to be. And you guys, okay, so your Twitter, Instagram, Dr. Drew, at Dr. Drew, and then at Dr. Drew HLN on Instagram. Mike.
Yeah.
Twitter and Instagram at Mike Catherwood. Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys want? And your Adam and Drew,
Drew podcast, Adam and Drew podcast.
Mike and Drew podcast, Adam and Drew podcast.
The Adam and Drew podcast is great too.
Okay, right. Mike and Drew.
Mm-hmm. Mike and Drew. Adam and Dr. Drew. Dr. Drew podcast. Those are all podcasts.
And I'll give my wife a little love. If you're a expecting mother, a new mother, if you're a mother, period, the Atomic Moms podcast is great.
I've heard that's amazing.
Then
someone else just mentioned
my wife's
it.
Calling out, which is a fascinating.
I wouldn't even get into that because I wanted to ask you more about that. But
what?
Her podcast, Calling Out with Susan Pinsky.
Yeah. Last time I was on Calling Out with Susan Pinsky with my wife, the clairvoyant made my wife cry. So
cry in a good way? Like,
She knew so much.
Both times I had amazing, like the first time, like, she instantly knew my dad had died, like, said he's proud of you. Because I always think, oh God, if you could see me, like, sitting with the vibrators.
And I also
my
want to
entire Instagram
hat.
Feed is like me and the Santa hat.
I also want to promote my website.
I gave you a freaking bat mitzvah.
Real, thank you, Emily. Forgive
Please,
me.
I don't know website. Yeah.
It's bluewaffle.net.
Bluewaffle.net. Wait, I got it. Anderson, wait, because I got to plug. I got to say one more thing. Thanks, Drew, Mike. And thanks, everyone. Oh, Anderson, thank you. And your podcast.
Thank you, Em.
After
been enough
film
podcast talk.
Jesus Christ.